Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise. As we bow before you, Lord, asking you, Lord, to bless us, O God, in your abundance. Asking you, Lord, to fill us, O God, with your Spirit, Lord. That we will unveil, O God, the wonders, O God, of your word. Manifested to us, O Lord, in the fullness of Christ Jesus. So that his fullness will fill all in all, in us and amongst us and through us, Father. In all that we become, in all that we do, Father, in thought, word, and in deed. In intent, attitude, desire, and imagination, Father. Let everything that is within us bless your name. Let everything that is within us be opened and unveiled, O God, to the wonders of who you are and all that you are. Let everything that is within us, O God, be transformed and changed. Let there be light, Lord. Let your light manifest in us. Let your light form the fabric of our being, Lord. Let your light unveil us, O God, as a new creation. Let your light unveil in us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that comes from you. Let our eyes be opened, O God. Let our ears, O God, hear, Father. And let our hearts be able to receive and realize, O God, the abundance that you have for us, Father. The abundance, O God, that you mean to bring forth in each one of our lives. For of his fullness, Lord, the fullness of Jesus Christ we have all received, Father. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And this realization is meant to be an unveiling of your name, Father. An unveiling of who you are and all that you are. So, Father God, even as we go into this module, Father, module 8, tape 4, Father, we pray that you will bless us so that we will come to understand, Father, that everything derives from you, Father. Everything is sourced in you, Father. Everything, O Lord, that is abiding, O God, is only of you, Father. That without you, O God, there is nothing that is sustainable, Father. You are the one who sustains all things, Father. You are the omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent God. You are the God who is life to us. And without you, Lord, we have nothing, Father. So, Father God, enable us to receive and realize, O God, your abundance through the fullness of Jesus Christ communicated to us by the Holy Spirit, that everything that is within us, Father, will be fashioned and formed, O God, in the abundance of who you are and all that you are, communicated to us in the Spirit and life of Jesus, our Lord, manifested to us in the faith and love of Jesus, so that we will realize all things in the wonder of you, for you are God, and there is none besides you, Father. So bless us, O Lord, in this time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are on the subject of unveiling the name of God. Unveiling the name of God. Praise the Lord. It's very important for us to understand that the name of God is the basis of our salvation. That the name of God has been manifested to us in a reality of salvation. And we have been talking about how we are each meant to be filled to all the fullness of God. That the reality of God is a testimony. A reality of this testimony is the unveiling of a covenant within us. And a covenant is an oath. Today we want to explore the subject of God's name being an oath of covenant. The name of God is I am who I am that I am. You find that in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. God introduces his name to Moses. In the King James Bible, the old King James Bible, he introduces that is expressed as I am that I am. In the new translations, New American Standard, New King James translations, it comes out as I am who I am. So God is both who he is and all that he is. And God is I am. What does I am represent? I am represents and describes the being of God. The being of God. And the being of God involves his nature, his essence, his attributes, his qualities, all that God is. All that God is. I am. I am is an oath. Every reality in God is abiding. It is unchanging. It is self-sustaining. It is something that can be alive to us forever. Anything that we receive and realize from God is abiding. It is in fact an oath of the God who is unchanging. That everything that we receive and realize from him is sustainable. It will grow. It will increase. It will continue to be a blessing to us forever. So everything in our Christian faith has to be anchored in who God is and all that God is. And unless and until we see something in who God is and all that God is, we haven't really seen what God is giving us. We haven't really understood what God is giving us. We haven't really realized what God is giving us. Right? So it is very important for us to understand that the purpose, principal purpose for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is actually to communicate the name of God to us, to communicate the I am of God to us, so that we can live by who God is and we can live by all that God is. Because without God, we already know experientially that all things ultimately dissipate into nothing. We already know that, and we need to understand that there has to be something beyond that. And what we need to discover is the I am of God. All right, so today let's start with talking about the I am of God. The I am of God expresses eternity of being. His being is eternal. He was never created. He has always been, he is right now, and he will always be. Right? And he will always be. And that's why we need him. Because everything is sourced in him. So God is eternal in being, without beginning and without end. I am is the eternally present one. I am gives expression to the one eternally present God. I am, the I am of God transcends time past, time present, and time in the future. God is beyond time. I am is timeless and eternal of being. Having said that, we need to understand that to us, God is a continual revelation. And the revelation of God to us will continue to increase forever and ever and ever. God was, God is, and God is to come. From the perspective of everything that He is manifesting in our lives. We have received something from God. We are even right now receiving of God. And we will continue to receive of God in all eternity. And we must always, in our thinking, be focused on God. Right? Everything in the Bible must first be seen in the context of who God is and all that God is. If you don't see things in the context of who God is and all that God is, those things we see in the Bible will be locked away in time and space. So you will look at the opening of the Red Sea and you will think that it is something that is locked into the dimensions of space and time. It is something of the past that God did. But we need to understand that what God did in opening the Red Sea, He still can do today and He will still do tomorrow, because He still remains who He is. He is immutable. He is unchangeable. He is God. And this is very important for us to understand. That as we look at God, we are not looking at something that changes at whims and fancies. We are looking at someone who is like a rock, totally unchanged, right? The Lord who remains. The Lord who does not change. The Lord who is there. He is the same to us yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Although we may not have experienced Him in the fullness yesterday, as we are doing today, and we will probably experience Him more wonderfully tomorrow. We should be experiencing Him more wonderfully tomorrow. But God in Himself is always the same. He is the He is unchanging. All right? He is unchanging. All right? So, when there never was a time when God did not exist, there never will be a time when He will not exist. He is Yahweh, I am, the eternal. So what is the implications of God being without beginning, without end? What is the implication of God being eternal? The first implication is that because God is eternal, what He manifests to us is also something of the eternal. What we receive of God unveils in eternal realities, right? We receive eternal life because the life that comes from God manifests the fact that He is eternal. And anything we receive from God is eternal. Anything we receive of God is eternal. So the reality of eternal life is only there because God is eternal, right? So eternal life unveils in him, it unveils by him, and it is sustained forever by him. So without God, the life that is eternal will never be able to be there. You cannot have eternal life without God. God has to be the reality in which life has to be unveiled to us. We have to live in God, we have to live by God, we have to live through God. And if we do these things, the life that we live will remain in us forever, and we will live forever. So God is eternal in his being, and because he is eternal in his being, we can receive eternal life from him. And this is what Jesus came to give us. So when Jesus says, I am the life, the life that is open to us in Jesus Christ is an opening of life that is sourced in the I am of God. It is eternal, it is abiding, it will stand forever. And this is something we have to absorb and realize in our being. Right? See, now as we talk, our idea of God being self-existent, being eternal, is kind of intellectual. But as you begin to grow in God, you will begin to realize that the life that you have received from him is something far beyond what you have thought life to be. And that is a revelation. And God has to manifest that life into you. He has to reveal that life into you. You have to discover that life. And in that reality, you will begin to understand that God is eternal. That you too are a creature of eternity. And as you begin to realize that you are a creature of eternity, Your thinking processes change. Your perspectives on life change. Your attitudes change, right? Your character, your nature start changing, right? So it is very important for us to understand that God in Psalm 54 verse 1 through David says, save me, O God, by thy name, and vindicate me by thy power, right? It is telling you something very powerful, that God saves us by his name. As we come alive to God, our life changes. As we come alive to God, everything within us changes. Our character changes, our perspectives of life, our value systems change, our goals in life change, right? The objects of our life will change. What is important in our life will also be changed. But you must understand something, that change will only come as you discover God. You can't just cook it up. Praise the Lord. So faith is the substance of hope, the evidence. Amen. You set your hope in God, substance manifests inside of you, it forms faith, and that faith understands, and that faith begins to see an evidence. And that evidence will enable you to see what God has given you. And that reality of God is what will transform your life, transform your being, transform your character, transform your nature. You must understand something. All of the abiding has to be received from God. Right? You have to ask for it, and you have to continue to ask for it. You have to depend on God for it. We have learned to live independent of God. Now what God is telling us, you have to depend on me for everything. Because unless you depend on me, you will not receive what I have for you. And what I have for you will transform your thought processes, transform your character, transform your nature. You will begin to reflect the fact that I am an eternal God, that I am eternal in my being. Your lifestyle, your thought processes will also begin to change. Are you with me? Right? Then no longer are you driven. Right? You learn to rest in God. Right? So when God talks about the Sabbath, he's talking about a rest. The ability to rest in God. The ability to see God as God is. The ability to understand the greatness of God. It's a rest. And when you rest in God, you can move by God in power and in excellence. Right? When you rest in God, he can use you as his vessel very powerfully. Amen? So this understanding of who God is very fundamental to what we become in God. So the first reality of God is that he is eternal in being, right? He is without beginning and without end. He is eternally present. He is timeless, right? Praise the Lord. So let's look at the second aspect of the I am of God. The I am of God is self-existent. I am expresses him who exists in and of and by himself. God is not the creation. The creation is distinct from God. God is separate from his creation. Although he permeates his creation with his presence, although he permeates the creation with his will, although he permeates the creation with his authority and his power. But the creation is the creation and God is God. So God is self-existent. All right? God is self-existent. So I am expresses him who exists in and of and by himself. The self-existent one, uncreated in being. Uncreated in being. All creation and all creatures owe their very existence to him. All creation and all creatures owe their very existence to him. All depend upon him for their existence. None are independent. God alone is I am, and is the only independent one. All right? We are all dependent. And when we are independent, we are being foolish. Because it is utterly foolish for us to pretend that we are independent. All right? He is the very life source, the origin and the sustainer of all life. So everything has to be sourced in God. So if you're looking for answers in your life, then you have to look to God. It's not easy to see, because there appear to be so many other kinds of answers that you can find around you. And you can hook into an answer, and you can hook into a formula, and you can hook into a method any time of the day. There are all kinds of guys who will come and tell you all you need is to think positively. And all you need to think is to think like this. Everything is possible by you. And all those things seem to work for a time and a season. The only problem is it is unsustainable. Right? It is unsustainable. So you need to understand fundamentally when God says I am, he's telling you straight away, every solution is in me. If you don't look to me, you will perish. If you don't look to me, you are already in trouble. Right? So we have to learn how to live a life that is entirely realized from God. Amen? So it's very important for us to understand God is self-existent. We are entirely dependent on him. All right? We are entirely dependent on him. Praise the Lord. Let's look at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That's very important for us to understand. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So if you don't receive the life of God, you will not receive the light of God. God's light and his life are the very fabric in which we live and have our being. All right? So it's very important for us to understand. Now, one of the principal reasons why God has given us the Word is so that we will be able to receive his light. So when God reveals the Word to us, the principal reality of revelation knowledge is the manifestation of light, the light of God. And therefore, if we are going to study and learn the scriptures, we must be taught of God. We have to be taught of God, which is why one of the earlier modules, module 2, we talked about us being taught by God. Module 2 of this series, right, is in being taught by God. Because if you're not taught by God, you will not receive his light. There are all kinds of light in the world. Let me just read from Matthew chapter 6. Verse 22 and verse 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Your eye is your ability to see. Through revelation knowledge, God gives you the ability to see. All right? The ability to understand. All right? So it says, if therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So darkness too comes to you as a light. Only thing is, it's a false light. It's a false light. It's a light of deception. So Satan is called the angel of light. He doesn't come to you as a monster, although his heart is the heart of a monster. He always comes to you in the light of deception. Right? He brings to you a light that is of his own source. Right? So how does he come to you? Did God really say this? He sows doubt. And he causes you to try and live independent of God. And that is the light of darkness. So the Bible tells us that God is light. So it's very important for you to understand that if you're going to understand something the right way, then God has to be the source, the beginning and the ending of your thought process. He has also got to be the sustainer of this thought process. He's also got to be the builder of that thought process. If he's not, then you will go into the light of darkness. So let's look at Acts chapter 17, verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. For in him we live and move and have our being. Or in him we live and move and exist. And exist. All right? Let me just look at that in the King James. Just hold on. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Very important for you to remember this verse. In him do you live, move, and have your being. So you must understand that your being depends on God. To have your being, to live in him, to live by him, you have to realize those things. That's what Jesus came to bring inside of your life. So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, it is entirely meant to manifest this sort of life. In him we live, move, and have our being. All right, so God is the source of everything for our lives. Amen. The I am of God, the third thing about the I am of God is that the I am of God expresses his character as God. His essential nature as God. He is omniscient, which means he is all-knowing. He is omnipresent, which means he is always present. And he is omnipotent, he is all-powerful. These are the essential attributes of God. Omnipotence means God is all-powerful. There is a name of God that goes with it. El Shaddai, the Almighty and All-Sufficient God, the All-Powerful God. All power derives from God. Even the power that the devil uses, he received from God. All power comes from God. And we need to understand that and realize that we are not powerful in ourselves. Right? We are not powerful in ourselves. We are dependent on God for the power to do all things. Right? One of the fundamental ideas of power is that it's like electrical power. It enables a device to work. So one of the fundamental manifestations of God's power is to enable us to function the way God designed us to function. Amen? Now there are other kinds of power, the power to create, the power to transform, the power to change, the power to grow, the power to, you know, to manifest miracles, signs, and wonders, all right? But the essential and fundamental form of power that we receive from God is the ability to live the right way. Praise the Lord. So if you're struggling with prayer, the answer is to look to God for that prayer, for that ability to pray. And you've got to go after it until God gives it to you. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Amen. So you have to ask, and you've got to persevere with asking. All right? Sometimes, if you really value something, you will continue to pursue it. You know, some of us have pursued our education over so many, many years. When it comes to the things of God, we want to ask once, twice, thrice, and we expect to get it. But we will seek the transitory, putting our whole life into it. But when it comes to the things of God, we get tired very easily. We ask for a month, we ask for 2 months, we ask for 1 year, we ask for 2 years, and we give up. Oh, this is too hard. Right? But if you happen to have a degree today, you must understand that that degree was built in how many years of education? Right? Yet when it comes to the things of God, we want everything instantly. We want to become instant pastors. Pastor, anoint me and let me go and do my own thing in the ministry. And a pastor, I've read the Bible now for 2 whole years and I understand all things in the scriptures. No, you don't. We will still be studying and learning things in the scripture 1 million years from today. None of us knows what's in the scripture. We see in part, we understand in part, we prophesy in part. Right? We actually know nothing. But you have to see God in order to understand that. If you keep comparing yourself with those who are around you, yes, it appears that you know more than others. But that's not the criteria. See, knowledge is subject to God. It is subject to the omniscience of God. Omniscience is the all-knowing of God. So if you want to be a humble person, it starts with you understanding that you know nothing. And I know nothing. Only God knows everything. Only God truly knows. We only know in part and we see in part, we prophesy in part, we understand in part. So there's nothing to get puffed up about just because you know 20 times more than the guy next to you. That's the implication of God being omniscient. There's nothing to boast about. Everything has been given. We receive. We are taught by God. If you are taught by God, how can you boast? So it's very important to understand that God is all-powerful. So when you operate in the anointings and you see signs and wonders, you need to understand all that was given to you. It was given to you as a gift. You cannot earn a gift. A gift is given. It is given not because you deserve it. It's given because God chose to give you that gift. And sometimes God gives us gifts just to see what sort of people we will turn out to be. He already knows what we will be because He's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows all things in the past and the present and the future. And all things in the past, the present and the future are the same to Him right now. Are you with me? Now that's one reason why God says it is ridiculous for you to make an idol of me. What do you choose to make a representation of me? What can you make that can be a representation of me? How do you represent the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God? What is my form that you should give me a form? Right? And that's why he says any form of me is an abomination. Right? So God is omniscient. And when you understand God is omniscient, then you will understand that there's nothing to boast about. Everything that we have received. No matter how educated we are, no matter how high an IQ you may have, or EQ, or whatever it is we use to measure these things, you know, we are entirely subject to God. Man finds that very hard to accept. And man perishes because he is unwilling to accept the fact that God is God. That he is to be worshipped and he is to be honored and he is to be given first place in everything for our own sakes. So God is omnipotent, God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, everywhere present at the same time. He's always present. No matter where you go, he is present. Amen. So it means that we need to understand that God is there. One of the names, covenant names of God is Yahweh Shammah. I am who I am there. And God wants us to understand that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you read the book of Job, you will find that God takes Job through things that he never explains why he allowed that to happen. But if you come to the end of the book of Job, you find that God doesn't tell Job why he went through all of his sufferings. But as you come to the end of the book of Job, you find Job repenting, right? Let's turn to that. The book of Job, just before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 42. Before that, in the preceding two or three chapters, God asks Job a series of questions. Right? He asks a series of questions. And Job is absolutely flabbergasted by those questions. All right? But here, in Job chapter 42, verse 5. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now my eye sees you. Now seeing God is to understand the wonder of him, at least in some level. Right? It is not seeing his physical form. It is understanding what he is all about, understanding who he is. Right? And he says, now my eyes see you, therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. See, his friends were all very self-righteous guys, right? They kept telling him, you have sinned, you have done this wrong, you have done that wrong. You know? They tried to explain everything. And their explanations were right from the realm of a man. If you look at things from a man perspective, you will find that a lot of the arguments appear to be very sound arguments. That's how we will all argue when somebody is in trouble or somebody is in pain or somebody is in suffering. We will all come up with answers like that. This is why it happened. You have sinned. You have done this wrong. You must have done this wrong. You must have done that wrong. Right? Why was God angry with those three guys? Not because they didn't pray every day, but because they had made judgments without waiting for God to give them the right reasons. They had just drawn conclusions from their own understanding of things. And based on their own understanding of things, they condemned Job. Do you understand? Job himself turned against God in his arguments. Ultimately, he said, God is just being unfair to me. God is not being right to me. So God doesn't explain the fact of all those things. He just turns around and asks Job a series of questions. Where were you when I did this? And where were you when I did that? Do you understand why I did this and why I did that? Were you there when I designed how something would give birth to another thing? Do you understand how I put the seasons in place and the climate in place and the planets in place? Things like that. And Job had no answers to all of those things. So that was all that God asked him. So if you don't know any of these things, how do you know why I'm doing something? Why I'm allowing you to go through something? And so Job's conclusion at the end of it all. Now he's lost his whole family, by the way. It is amazing that he comes to a point where he is convicted. And he says, I repent. Now we can put our all kinds of suppositions behind that to try and explain that. So often we try and explain God to other people. You know, by the end of it all, if you can't explain God, it's all right. Because God is well and truly able to explain himself at the right time, in his chosen time. So if you don't have answers to defend God, it's all right. Sometimes we're always on the defense. Sometimes we should go on the offense. So tell me why these things are like that. Or why is that like that? Can you tell me? So who sustains these things? Why does the earth go around the sun in such an exact orbit? Why does the earth rotate at a constant speed? Who did that? Who put that? Right? Why does it keep rotating? Tell me why it does so. We can't create an atom and yet we say we know everything. That's amazing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So God is omniscient, all-knowing, all-seeing. He sees and knows all things, past, present, and future at the same time. At the same time. It's very important to understand these things. This is not theology. Very often we never meditate on these things. We never think about God being omniscient. And so we merrily carry on pretending that we know something. You know, I've been 25 years in the ministry, therefore I know so many things. Actually, all that we know is still a drop in the ocean. Compared to the next guy, yes, you may know 100 times more. But that doesn't mean anything. It's still a drop in the ocean. Whether it's a small drop or a big drop, it doesn't really make very much of a difference. Right? If it's at the atomic level and if you multiply it a million times, it's not really very big. Right? So 100 times is really very small. Right? So it's good to understand these attributes of God because they give perspective to what we are really like. And we really are nothing. And that's the first thing you must understand if you're going to minister. That in ministry you're entirely dependent on God for everything. Right? Even ministering to yourself. You really know very little about your own self. There's more of you hidden from your own eyes than you understand. That's why 10 years with the Lord, 15 years with the Lord, one day He just brings up something from you. You never even imagined you had such kinds of things inside of you. But God knew all along. But He designed His program of deliverance over your life and salvation over your life step by step by step by step. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for you and me to understand this, right? So this is not theology. Don't dismiss it. I don't need to know all this. It's very necessary to the framework of your own thinking. If you understand God as who He is, then you will really realize that you and I are nothing. We really are dust. Hello. We really are dust. And that's really what we are. Dust made smart. Right? And no matter how we pretend, with how many PhDs we put after our name, we are still dust. But to understand and appreciate that, you have to see God. If you don't see God, you will never appreciate that. You will still think you know something. So you wrote your fourth PhD. At home, your home is a mess. Your kids are a mess, and you say you know something. What do you know? Yeah? Praise the Lord. So the I Am of God is also infinite. Because it transcends space and time, the I Am of God is infinite. And therefore the I Am of God is effectively unsearchable. unsearchable, right? So what we know of God is just a small part of who He really is. And this will always be true. The more of God we realize, there is much more of Him to understand. So when Lucifer and his one-third of his angels rebelled against God, they really thought they knew something. Because they saw God, His manifested realities. They understood His anointing, so they thought. And they only discovered what they really were when He threw them all out at the speed of lightning. So Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. So him and one-third of the angels, we do not know how many millions of years they grew before God. But they grew up before God and they thought they had something. And yet when they were dismissed from God, they were dismissed at the speed of lightning. It wasn't very much of a fight actually. So when the Bible writes, and there was war in heaven, that is the angels fighting. God was not involved in that fight. If God was involved in the fight, it only lasted at the speed of lightning, less than 1 second. And millions of angels were thrown out all at the same time, together with Lucy and his smart brains. Right? Which is why we can do deliverance ministry. Because he knows God can wallop him faster than lightning. Right? So we can stand with power and authority, get out Satan, and he goes out. And we think, amen, I'm something else, man. No, that is because of God, that's all. Nothing to do with you. Right? So we need to understand that. Right? So it's very important to understand things, right? So you got to see everything in the perspective of God. If you see things in the perspective of God, there's nothing to boast about. Right? Okay. So God is infinite and therefore unsearchable. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The subject of God is infinite, all right? So we can only touch here and there, all right? So hopefully what we touch is practical and will be of use to us as we enter into the ministry, all right? Ephesians chapter 2, right, from verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 9. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. All right, so it's very important for us to know that everything about God is a revealed reality. So when you minister to someone, you must understand it has to be revealed to you. And if you don't have the revelation of what is happening, for heaven's sake, don't cook it up. All right? For heaven's sake, don't think you have to have answers for everything. If you don't know, you don't know. That's all. There's nothing wrong with not knowing. As long as you understand that God knows. Right? And He doesn't have to tell you everything that He does. All right? So we need to understand that at all times. Some things we can discern and say. So stick to what you know and don't pretend on things you don't know. All right? If you don't know something, you can take it to the Lord in prayer, or you can sit down and pray over it as a group. And you will find that God will reveal through different people the full complement of His wisdom. What is necessary for us to know and understand what to do in a particular situation. Praise the Lord. It's very important to understand this, because so much of ministry, Christian ministry, is cooked up. People make assumptions. People read the Bible, read 5 verses, and then make assumptions. Very dangerous to do that. Right? That's why you always need to see God in His right perspective and understand the scripture you're reading in the context of who God is. Then you will have a right understanding. Otherwise, you will come up with theories like, I paid the price for this, I paid the price for that, I paid the price for this. It sounds real because, you know, in ministry, you go through the mill. God perfects you and deals with your weaknesses, with your character flaws. So we look at things from our perspective and we say, my goodness, I've gone through so much. So therefore it's logical that I have paid the price compared to the next guy. But if you look at it from God's perspective, everything that God has taken you through, He has taken you through deliberately to deal with things that are not right inside of you, to make you appreciate things that He has given you. And in everything that He has taken you through, He has taken you through it by grace that He has manifested. How can you pay the price for grace? But if you see it from a man's perspective compared to everyone else, yes, I've gone through so many years of loneliness. I've gone through so many years in the wilderness. I've gone through my valley experiences. And it's so tempting to say, I have paid a price for this. But if you take it up and look at it from the context of what God has done, so did Job pay the price for him to be prospered the second time? No, he did not. All he did was he saw God, that's all. And he repented. And God then said, whatever he had before, he doubled it. Correct? So it's very important to see things from the perspective of who God is. Right? Once you have a right understanding of God, you won't think you know so much. So the next aspect of the I Am of God is that the I Am of God is the source and sustainer of all things. He is the source and the sustainer of all things. Nothing will last if God is not involved in it. So it's not a question of how big your ministry is, it's a question of what your ministry is being built and sustained on. That is what you have to examine all the time. It is not measured by how many people are sitting in your church or sitting in your ministry or how many thousands of people you have ministered to. It is all based on who is still present in your ministry. Who is your rock and who is your defense and who is your provider and who is the Lord who is alive in your heart. So you measure all things by who God is and by all that God is, not by what you see around you. Not by signs and wonders. Always remember that. Alright? Why do I say that? Because Satan too can produce miracles. Alright, let's turn to the book of Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness or in lawlessness. All right? So there is a realm of power that is of the power of darkness. And just because you see a miracle doesn't mean that person is operating by the Spirit of God. Very sobering thought, isn't it? Very sobering thought. That's why in everything that we teach in this ministry, we base everything on a relationship with God. You must have that relationship with God. You must develop everything as a relationship with God. It must be a dependent relationship. If you don't depend on God for something, something has gone wrong. If in your thinking process you can do something of yourself, something has gone wrong. If you spiritually think that you can deliver someone just because you are doing something, something has gone wrong. If you think spiritually you can heal people just because you can pray like this and do like this, something has gone wrong. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong in healing people. In fact, it is absolutely necessary to heal people and set them free. But if you're no longer depending on God for it, something has certainly gone wrong. Right? Because the spirit of independence is not of the spirit and character of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. John chapter 5 verse 19 and John chapter 5 verse 30. All right, very important verses to remember. All right, so God is who He is. And we need to understand that everything depends on who God is. All right? Theologians call that the ontological view of God. But there is another view of God, that He will also fulfill all that He will fulfill. And that is that's a reality of God as looking at it from our perspective. Okay, let me show you some verses. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, you know that. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And we realize that I am who I am, or I am that I am, represents the eternal, the abundant, the omniscient, omnipresent realities of God. But look at verse 12. And so He said, I will certainly be with you. I will certainly be with you. We know that God is omnipresent, therefore He will always be there. But here He tells Moses, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you and that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. I will certainly be with you. So God is pointing to something that He will bring forth as His relationship with Moses grows. So from our perspective, God does something that we need to understand. He's telling us, I will be all that is necessary as the occasion will arise. God will reveal Himself to us in a growing reality. That's from our perspective. That doesn't mean that the reality of God is diminished. What it means is that God is going to lead us step by step into a greater and greater reality of Him, a greater and greater realization of Him. So today we know some measure of who God is. All of us have learned that. Maybe it's an inaccurate picture of God. Whatever it is, we have some reality of God within us. And we know that in 10 years' time or in 1 year, from now, we will have a much more refined and a greater clarity of God. Right? So God talks about Himself as I will be. So some scholars have translated the name of God like this. I will be what I will be. I will be what I will be. I will be what I will be. All right? So I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the revised version, I think that's one of the realities that they talk about of God. I will be what I will be. I'm not sure about that, but this book that I was reading seems to imply that. Okay. I will be what I will be. Right? It's found in the Authorized Version. Right, so in Exodus 3:12, God points to something in the future where He will be something more to the people of God than He is today. So if you look at the flow of Scripture through the Bible, you will find that God has the intent of being more real to people in the future. Right, if you read from Genesis right to Revelation, than He was to say Abraham. Theoretically speaking, some of us haven't reached that level yet, right? But really, we should be far alive, more alive to God today than anything Abraham was alive to. And that reality of God is abiding inside of us, all right? So God will be all that He will be to us, right? So I will be what I will be. All right, let's look at Joshua 1 to 5. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. I will be with you. Right? So I will be. Right? That doesn't mean God has changed his character and nature. What it means is that he will reveal himself on a growing plane to us. So from our perspective, the reality of God is a reality of I will be, he will be to me what he will be as he leads me through my life, as he builds me in my ministry, as he builds me in my relationships, as he builds me in my character. He will be what he will be as he becomes my God, as I understand him as my God. Can you see that? Right? And this is also very important as you move into your ministry. Today you may understand God to be someone that you think he is. And he may turn out in 10 years' time to be someone far more profound than what you thought him to be. Right? So always understand this. It's very important to understand this. Then you will not try and explain God in static dimensions. I know everything about God now. You know, I've been in the wilderness for the last 20 years eating locusts and dressed in skins. You know, therefore I know God. You know how many visions I've seen of God? You know how many books I've written and all those kind of things, you know. But you will always, if you can understand that what you have realized of God is still a drop in the ocean of what you are to realize of God in the future, then you will never get puffed up. So no matter how deep your spiritual experiences of God are, they are still a drop in the ocean. So God will always address you as I will be. There is still so much of me that you have to find out. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's look at another example. Judges chapter 6, verse 16. I've just picked these verses. There are so many verses where God is actually saying that he will be something to you. I mean, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is something you will keep on discovering as you grow in the Lord. Right? It is not that God is less of a provider now than he will be 1,000 years from today. It is just that you have not discovered how much of a provider he is today as you will discover him to be 1,000 years from today. Amen? That's what it means. Alright? So very important to understand this. Alright? So in Judges chapter 6 verse 16, but the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you and you shall defeat Midian as one man. I will be with you. So Gideon was expected to walk in faith into what God would lead him into. Correct? Are you with me? You realize that the reality that God was leading Gideon into didn't make any sense. Logically speaking, one man to defeat an entire army. Right? But he was taking him as a leader, and he will bring another 300 men around him. There were many other thousands who came, but he sent them all back and he said they are too big a group. Right? So God sent him as one man with 300 men to help him. And God did something that was sovereign in causing confusion to come upon the army of the Midianites. Correct? So God talks about, I will be with you. Amen. And so as you walk in the ministry, as you walk in your life, God is always telling you, I will be with you. Right? And you must understand this reality of God. It's very important for you. That God will be with you. Amen. So you should, it's not a question of, oh, how am I going to realize this? It's not a question of you. It's about a question of what will God reveal himself to be in your life and through your life. As you trust him. Are you with me? If you sit down and figure out, oh my goodness, I've got all these things and let me analyze this and figure out how this will all work out, you cannot walk with God like that. People who think like that never do anything, spiritually speaking. In the natural, it will work very nicely. But in the spiritual, God will ask you to trust in him because he's going to bring forth things that you cannot understand. Bring forth things that are beyond your reality.
Are you with me?
Your reality is one and one is two. His reality, take one and you can make it 5,000. All you have to do is to break it first. And you break it and you keep breaking it and it keeps multiplying itself. And until you get tired, it stops. Right? That's his reality. Right? And that's a reality we don't live in. But God wants us to live in that sort of a reality. That he can take one and he can multiply it. And he can make it anything he chooses it to be. Right? Praise the Lord. So what is the first temptation that Satan threw at Jesus? You are hungry, you have been fasting. So why don't you turn that stone into a loaf of bread? You are fully justified about it. Jesus said, I will not use the power of God for myself. Unless my God instructs me. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Okay. So we have a long way to grow, right? We would not have answered like that. We would have said, I have paid the price, man. I am hungry. I have fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. This surely makes sense. Yes, I will eat. Right? Let that stone be made into bread. I am hungry. All of us would do that, right? But he didn't do that. Why? Because his God didn't tell him so. Because also he knew that Satan was talking to him. Right? All right, so we also have to discern who is talking to us. Yeah. Can you imagine he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights? Can you imagine how spiritually attuned to God he would have been? And Satan comes and tells him, why don't you eat? The second thing Satan does is then use the word of God to suit yourself too. He will give his angels charge over you, so why don't you jump off? Why don't you test out the power of God? And Jesus said, no. The power you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Correct? Right? Makes sense? Yeah. The third thing he says was what? Come and worship me. Right? And I will give you all these things. I'll give it to you straight away. All I need is for you to drop down on my... You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to do anything. Just come and have it the easy way. How many men of God have made that choice? So there are no easy ways to find a ministry. You have to be led by God. And if God says you sit down and wait for 5 years, you wait for 5 years. That's all. Boy, it's not easy to wait like that. But quite frankly, you don't have very much choice in the matter. You have to be led by the Lord. And he knows precisely what he is doing. If he tells you to wait, you wait. Yeah. But always remember, waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. All right? So if you are waiting on God, you are always growing in God. That's the key. Praise the Lord. So God will be all that he will be in our lives. The third reality of God that we need to understand is the covenant realities of God. And that covenant reality of God is what I would like to develop in this unveiling of the name of God. That's going to be our focus from next week onwards. And we're going to go deep into this subject. Deep meaning as deep as we can at this stage of our growth in the Lord. So the covenant names of God are what I would like to really open to you. And that covenant name of God is what is so important. Because in the scripture, God wants to build covenant inside of you. If you're looking at how we have structured this, the modules of this teaching program, it is all based on covenant. What God writes inside of your own heart. And you have to wait for God to do that. You have to wait for God to do that. That doesn't mean you cannot go out and touch people's lives and speak the gospel into people's lives or anything like that. But what it means that in the long term, you must understand that God is fashioning a covenant in your life. Covenant means oath. Oath means certainty. When God opens something to you as an oath, you can function in that all the time. Having said that, you must also understand that by covenant you are always called to be led by God. You cannot function independent of God. So something can be opened to you as an oath, but you have to learn how to function in that oath, subject to God. If you function from your inward parts, depending on God to bring out the word that you speak, bring out the prayer that you manifest, bring out the worship that you unveil, you will find that automatically God builds into you an independence. For example, I cannot preach in a position that is independent of God. I need God in order to be able to minister. I can't function. But it's taken me a long time to realize that. No. In my earlier years, I could have functioned independent of God, but now I can't. I can't because I'm dependent on Him for the message. I'm dependent on Him for the flow. But He takes what He has put inside of me and He brings it out. And I can only function in the areas where He has opened it to me. I can't function beyond that. Right? So there are certain things I can do prophetically, but they are in a realm that is unveiled in teaching. So I cannot minister to a person prophetically on an individual basis. That is not my calling. That is not my ministry. Are you with me? All right? Okay. So all of us have got our limitations. God will give us areas of ministry. Understand and know what you are called to do and what you are not called to do. All right? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for who you are and for all that you are. We thank you that you are the omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent God who is self-existing, who is eternal in being, who is the source of every good and abiding wonder, Father. And so, Father God, as we learn how to be subject to you, as we learn to understand that you will be all that you will be to us, O God, as we grow, Father, we thank you that in your omniscience we will come alive to a growing knowledge of you, Father. In your omnipotence, we will come alive to the power that you manifest to us, Father. And we will come alive, O God, to the reality of your presence, being more and more alive to us as we grow. So this reality of who you are and all that you will be to us, O God, as we grow in you, Father, is a wonderful reality, Father. It forms the springboard of everything, O God, that we will be, Father, as you build us, Father. And we thank you that what you are building in us, although it is sourced in space and time, it comes, Father, from an eternal and abiding wonder of who you are and all that you are. So we ask you to bless each one of us here, that we will never forget, O God, who you are. We will never forget all that you are. That we will understand, O God, that compared to you, Father, we are entirely insignificant. Yet, Lord, in your grace and in your mercy, in your abundant loving kindness, your truth, your forgiveness, in your great compassion and your love, you have given each one of us a position of significance before you. And it's a position of growing significance before you. And that is because you have chosen to unveil each one of us as a blessing, Father. And for this we thank you, because it is entirely an expression of grace upon grace. And so, Father, as we realize, O God, that you who are infinite, you who are unsearchable, you who are immutable, you who are all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, Father, compared to you, we are nothing. But in you, Father, you have given us a position of significance, Lord. You have made us your sons. You have made us a priesthood. You have made us living tabernacles in which you mean to manifest, O God, your name and your presence, Father. And so we are grateful for the awesome purpose of position and authority that you mean to give us, Father. But all of that position and authority is based, O God, on your greatness. It is not achieved by us. It is realized by us, Father, as you unveil us to the wonder of all that you will be to us as we grow in you, Father. So we want to thank you and bless you. that in Christ Jesus we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And the Holy Spirit is here to unveil all that you have given us in Christ Jesus. And this will be a growing wonder within each one of us as we grow in you. So for all this, Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you, Father, for teaching us. We thank you, Lord, for putting things in perspective for us today, O Lord. And enable us, Holy Spirit, never to forget that. So we bless you, Father, for who you are and for all that you are. We give you glory, honor, worship, and praise in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.